place. And after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Thanks.
More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Wherefore, let your voice rise like a fountain for me night and day. For what are men better than sheep or goats that nourish a blind life within the brain, if knowing God they lift not hands of prayer both for themselves and those who call them friends? Some of you will recognize those words as words penned by Alfred Lord Tennyson. But there is great truth found in these words. Prayer is powerful, prayer involves talking to God, and prayer is an absolute necessity for successful living. Yet, we often take prayer for granted. The scripture that Pat read teaches us about prayer. It teaches us that we should pray without ceasing. And in Ephesians 6, verse 10, we read, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then in verse 18 says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season. But pray at all times? Carol, people will say to me, I'm too busy to pray. I don't know what to say. I'm not sure that prayer really does anything. After all, don't you remember when we prayed about this issue and nothing happened? Many Canadians espouse that they believe in God, but they do not talk to him. Some people only pray on Sunday. Some people only pray when they're in a dire emergency, like a knife to their throat. And routine prayers may be what some people use as well. But the Bible tells us to pray at all times. We are to pray for every blessing, every tragedy, for big things and small things. And we are just to pray at all times. This week, as you realize from the prayer requests, was a very difficult week for Bob and I and the rest of our family. You see, our Aunt Ethel is the only living family member above our generation. She was 10 years younger than my dad, and so we've known her all of our lives as being the youngest of all of the family members of my parents' generation. And on Tuesday, as I was preparing to go to Strawford, where I counsel people, I received an email from my Uncle Richard, who broke us the very sad news. On Sunday last week, they noticed that Ethel was not able to communicate the way that she normally does and seemed very confused, and so they took her into hospital thinking that perhaps she had had a stroke. And an hour later, which was very fast, after having a CAT scan, it was revealed that she had a brain tumor on the left frontal lobe. The good news was that surgery was an option, because we had traveled through quite a journey with my Aunt Ethel, who was diagnosed 2 years with rectal cancer, and she had just come through that and was declared cancer-free. And so began a new direction on Tuesday morning of my daily prayers, to be praying for my aunt that she would be able to come through this health crisis and live to experience all the joys that were awaiting her in 2018. So as I listened to the stories of many distraught clients that I was seeing that day, I not only prayed for them as I listened, but I added my aunt into those hourly prayers. And she came through the surgery sooner than expected, and we await to know what the outcome will be. It takes time and practice to pray all the time, but it is a wonderful gift when the prayer begins to realize that no prayer, however impossible or however simple, matters to God. When I need a parking space, I pray. When I lose my glasses, I pray. When I eat, I pray. When I feel sad, I pray. When I feel weak, I pray. When I am experiencing massage, I pray for all the people that I think of while I'm relaxing, and I also pray for my massage therapist. Somehow, for me, and for many, many other people, prayer becomes an antidote for our anxiety. And prayer must be important because even Jesus, who was God, prayed to his heavenly Father. And Jesus taught his disciples how to pray because he wanted to give them a model that they could follow in praying. And at some point, I might do a whole sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, because there's a lot that we can learn from that prayer. And it is indeed a prayer that we should pray every day, because it asks God to give us our daily bread, which means that every day we need to ask God to provide for us in the way of nourishment. Why must we pray? Why is it that prayer is so important for us as human beings? First of all, as humans, it doesn't take long for us to realize how fragile and frail our health can become. For what is man? His life is but a vapor that rises and vanishes away like the flowers of the field. Those who think of themselves as indestructible are foolish. Any one of us can be destroyed by a single microbe. Ask anyone who is struggling with flesh-eating disease. One bullet blasted from a gun can kill us. Ask any student from Tabor, Alberta. A split-second decision to drink and drive can kill us. Ask anyone who's lost a loved one in a fatal car accident. Yes, we are weak, but God promises to make the weak strong. Listen to these words in Isaiah 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to pray all the time because we need God's help all the time. People over the years have often asked me, how should we pray? Are there models for prayer that can guide us? This morning, in the children's story, I taught a model for prayer. And the Bible teaches us that we need to pray all kinds of prayers needed for different circumstances. There are prayers of supplication, there are prayers of thanks, there are prayers for forgiveness. But I tend to think of models of prayer in terms of what they are used for. For example, code blue prayers. Now, when we have a code blue in a hospital, it is a high, high emergency. There are people, and I use them too, where we pray code blue prayers. Speedy emails hurled heavenward for those emergencies of life, requests for immediate aid. Carl Carlin writes, "One day in the mountains of Pennsylvania, while skipping and running along an old stone foundation, a little girl fell headlong into a pile of rocks. With her head cut open and bleeding, she ran screaming to the house. Her father came running in from the field when he heard his wife frantically ringing the dinner bell. There were no telephones and no cars in those days, and the family lived many miles from town. There was only one thing to do. The big Pennsylvania farmer, red clay from the field still on his hands, sat on a straight chair and pulled his daughter to him. As he tightened his big, rough hands on her temples, he began a quiet, simple prayer in German. Almost immediately, the bleeding stopped. The little girl was washed and soon fell asleep as her mother held her and sat rocking in the old rocking chair. The creaking of the floorboards under the rocker was like a sweet caress, a reassuring note." Carl continues to write, "My mother used to recount the dramas that occurred in that farmhouse kitchen so many years ago. I can see what she was talking about. A ridge on her forehead shows that she had suffered a fractured skull. It wasn't the rote of a quiet, simple prayer that healed my mother. It wasn't magic being spoken in German. It was the deep, abiding faith in my grandfather's heart as he spoke to God. And God heard his prayer." Yes, God knows all about code blue prayers. And then, as we talked a few minutes ago, there is a model of continual prayer. And it is continual prayer that takes practice but develops our relationship with the Lord in the ordinary days of our lives. Prayer at all times of day, talking to the Lord about what you're thinking, what you're considering, the decisions that you want to make, and also those prayers for parking spots and lost glasses. Leslie Weatherhead tells the story of an old Scot who was quite ill, and the family called the minister. As he entered the sick room and sat down, he noticed another chair on the opposite side of the bed, a chair which was also drawn close to the old Scot. The pastor said, "Well, Donald, I see I'm not your first visitor of the day." The old man looked up, was puzzled for a moment, then recognized from the nod of the head of the pastor, noticing the empty chair, "Well, Pastor, I'll tell you about that chair. Many years ago, I found it quite difficult to pray, so I shared this problem with my minister at that time. He told me not to worry about kneeling or about placing myself in some pious position. Instead, he said, just sit down with the chair opposite you and imagine Jesus sitting there. Then talk to him as though he were your friend." The aged Scot then added, "I've been doing that ever since." A short time later, the daughter of the Scot called the pastor. When he answered, she informed him that her father had died very suddenly, and she was quite shaken, for she had no idea that death was so near. Then she continued, "I had just gone to lie down for an hour or two, for he seemed to be sleeping so comfortably. When I went back, he was dead." And then she added thoughtfully, "Except now, his hand was on the empty chair at the side of his bed. Isn't that strange?" The minister said, "No, it's not strange. I understand." Yes, God knows about continual prayer. And then there are closet prayers. quiet times to talk with the Lord, when we have the luxury of time to just have conversation with God with no one listening in. And then there are concerts of prayer. When two or three gather together to pray, I believe that something special can happen. Our world can be transformed, people can be healed, sinners can be saved, and world disasters can be alleviated. We should never underestimate the power of joining together to pray. And it's easier to persevere in praying for issues when others join with us. Even this week, I called Bob and I said, you know, can we pray for Aunt Ethel together? Because when you pray with another person, it just makes such a difference in being able to keep on with that journey of prayer. I wonder if any of you know the story of the German Christians who were involved in the tearing down of the Berlin Wall on November 9th, 1989. In East Berlin, there was a large cathedral that was within sight of the Berlin Wall. In the summer of 1989, Christians began to gather in a small prayer group at that cathedral to pray for the breaking down of the Berlin Wall and for freedom of their country. It started out with just a handful of people, and gradually more and more joined them until there were hundreds of people meeting each Monday evening to pray for God's will to be done in East Germany. This got to be known by the government officials, and they were very much afraid because this represented a shift in awareness that people were beginning to ask God for things to change. In the process, people's hearts were being changed as they prayed as well. One Monday night, the government sent out 200 officials to attend the prayer group in a show of strength. Outside the building, there were many armed guards in case there was a riot. Word got out that these 200 officials were going to be at the prayer group, so several thousand people came to the prayer group that night and stood outside in silent witness to the power of God and their trust in God to tear down the wall that was out there. They also came in the hope that God would also tear down the walls that were in each person that were causing them to be separated. 7 weeks before the Berlin Wall came down, their prayer group, as it dismissed its thousands of people and bid the 200 officials farewell, decided that they would make a silent pilgrimage around the interior perimeter of the wall in East Berlin. They marched the 6th week in prayer and silent witness, and then the 5th week, and the 4th week, and the 3rd week, and the 2nd week. And the day after the 7th time around the wall, it came tumbling down. We live in a world that is hurting and that is in tremendous need of the healing presence of God. We need His help to accomplish the task that He has yet for us to do. We need to pray. Let me conclude with this insightful letter written by God to us entitled, Too Busy. As you got up this morning, I watched you and hoped you would talk to me, even if it were only a few words, asking my opinion or thanking me for something good that is happening in your life. But I noticed you were too busy, trying to find the right outfit to wear, trying to get your children off to school. When you ran around the house getting ready, I knew there were a few minutes for you to stop and say hello, but you were too busy. At one point, you had to wait 15 minutes with nothing to do but sit in a chair. You stopped looking at your phone for a moment, and I saw you spring to your feet. I thought you wanted to talk to me, but you ran to meet a friend who had just arrived and to share the latest gossip instead. I watched patiently all day. With all your activities, I guessed you were too busy to say anything to me. I noticed that before lunch you looked around. Maybe you felt embarrassed to talk to me and that is why you didn't bow your head. You glanced three or four tables over, and you noticed some of your friends talking to me briefly before they ate, but you didn't. That's okay. There is still more time left, and I hope that you will talk to me yet. You went home, and it seemed as if you had lots of things to do. After a few of them were done, you turned on the computer and tuned into Netflix. I don't know if you like Netflix or not. Just about anything can be watched there. And you spent a lot of time each day in front of your computer, not thinking about anything but being entertained. I waited patiently again as you watched the latest episode and ate your meal. But again, you didn't talk to me. Bedtime, I guess you felt too tired. And after you said goodnight to your children and partner, you plopped into bed and fell asleep in no time. That's okay, because you may not realize it, but I am always there for you. I've got patience more than you will ever know. I even want to teach you how to be patient with others as well. I love you so much that I wait every day for a nod, a prayer, a thought, or a thankful part of your heart. It is hard to have a one-sided conversation. Well, you are up again, and once again I will wait with nothing but love for you, hoping that today you will give me some time. Have a nice day, your friend, God.